This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, nice to chat to you again. One of the things that we haven't spoken about, and I'm not really sure that it's very relevant to this corner, but it's the coming up election in New York City and, of course, all the furor that goes around the candidate Mamdani. I don't really want to get into the twos and the fours and againsts and all the arguments, but just one of the things that is so surprising for me is the fact that there are so many Jews and Jewish organizations who are coming out and publicly endorsing him, and I don't get it. I simply don't get it. So I just wanted to throw this out there because I know that there isn't really an alternative credible candidate that people who don't support Mamdani can rally behind and feel good about their choice that somebody alternative might well do a good job in running the city, which really needs a good manager. But I don't understand why Jewish organizations, even if they don't have anybody else to vote for, would actually come out and endorse Mamdani. I mean, he clearly is anti-Zionist, and therefore I would infer that he's anti-Semitic, even though he claims that, you know, Zionism and Judaism are separate things. And we can talk about that a little bit later in the context of the World Zionist Congress that's going on at the moment. But I feel that Zionism and Judaism are very interlinked. And therefore, anybody who comes out anti-Zionist is by definition at least infringing upon anti-Semitism. Why do the Jewish organizations feel the need to support him? Maybe listeners out there who are Jews living in the diaspora as opposed to me might understand this better than I do.
It's unlikely you'll get any answers from our listeners. If you know the answer to that, why would anybody is my first thing, support Mamdani. I think he's going to destroy the city. Jewish, not Jewish, Zionist, not Zionist. I think he is an absolute horror. So that's the first part of it. And the second is, why would any Jew? If you know the answer, if you have an answer for Louis Karpis, not Louis Karpis, for Anthony Reich, please give us your answers. 061-895-1019. And in fact, there's a rabbi who is now supports him, which is just quite remarkable. But you've got to actually just look at who this person is. It's just bizarre, absolutely bizarre. It's like a trance, anti-Israel trance rabbi features in Jews for Zoran ad. So that's why that gives you that answer. Anthony, let's talk about what's going on in Gaza. The IDF yesterday carried out attacks against Hamas targets in Gaza after a number of violations of the ceasefire agreement. What's the latest?
So yesterday when I spoke to David, we were talking about the body that had been brought out of Gaza, and I mentioned the fact that there had been no positive identification that had been made public of the body that had been brought out of Gaza. And the reason that there was no information about who this person was is because it turns out that the body that was brought out from Gaza yesterday happened to have been just body parts of somebody an IDF soldier whose body or the other parts of his body had already been brought out from Gaza some 2 years ago. And I'm talking here about Ofir Tsarfati, whose body was rescued by IDF soldiers about 2 years ago and brought for burial in Israel. It turns out that not all of his body had been brought out from Gaza at that time, and that Hamas felt that they could get away with sending other parts of his body and s seemingly adhering to the 48-hour deadline that had been set by Trump to renew the return of bodies of Israeli hostages in Gaza. And so it kind of took the heat off them a little bit until the moment that that body or those body parts were identified. And it turns out that this is somebody who already was taken off the list, effectively, of the remaining 12 who are still remaining in Gaza. So that was like, I mean, one could call it a cheat, but it really goes a lot further than a cheat. It's just really psychological warfare at its worst. And then it turns out, and I notice, Howard, that you posted something on social media about this, then it turns out that IDF drones had succeeded in capturing footage of Hamas operatives in Gaza bringing out a body from a hiding place, excavating a hole, putting the body in the hole, covering it over, then inviting members of the International Red Cross in to show them, to have them witness digging out this body, which only a short while before had been buried over. So what we can conclude from this is that they do have bodies of Israeli hostages who could be released, and Israel has contended this already for some time. And what they're trying to do is to try to make out as if though they are still excavating bodies, and as they excavate them, they are sending them to Israel. But the reality is that they are holding bodies. We know that. They have not denied this. They just simply go about their business as if though this statement hasn't been made, it's being ignored. So they're holding bodies that should have been returned under the terms of the ceasefire agreement. They have not been returned. They're holding them as some sort of leverage for their position. Then they're trying to make out to the International Red Cross, who are complicit in everything that's going on in Gaza, that they are excavating them right away. And as soon as they excavate them, they're being returned to Israel. So we got to a situation yesterday where things were really intolerable. And even though the American administration is very much still dictating that the ceasefire should continue and that Israel shouldn't consider these violations to be significant and therefore justify some sort of a response, we then moved on to another incident, which was an incident in which IDF soldiers were attacked in the area of Rafah yesterday. And unfortunately, we now understand that that incident has resulted in the death of an IDF soldier killed by Hamas fire, and that is Master Sergeant Yonah Feldbaum, who was killed, 37 years old, a reserve soldier, still serving in Gaza, in spite of the fact that we're in a ceasefire. And he was killed as a result of Hamas fire yesterday. Now, Hamas have denied that it was them. They claim that it might have been other renegade groups, but Hamas clearly are not part of this. And so, as a result of that whole series of events yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu ordered the IDF to go in and carry out attacks against Hamas targets in Gaza. They were very, very pinpoint attacks in order to try once again to attack Hamas operatives, to attack Hamas infrastructure. It would come as no surprise to any of us that some of those attacks that were carried out by the IDF were in the area of Shifa Hospital. Once again, the Hamas have decided that they no longer need to hide behind the hospital as an argument for Israel contravening Geneva Convention rules and things like that. They are unashamedly using the hospital and continuing to use the hospital as a place for directing their terror activities. And I think that now, even though they've been found out, they continue to use the hospital because the hospital area has been so significantly armed and set up and prepared for terror activities, that they can't simply move that to somewhere else. Now they're just using it, even though everybody knows that it's under the protection, so-called protection of the hospital, because that is where their terror base is really being directed from. So it is what it is. That's where the main area of operation still is being controlled from, and the IDF have continued to attack that. Well, if you think that the story ends there over the last 24 hours, it doesn't. Because the next thing that Hamas come out to say is, oh, we have found two more bodies of Israeli hostages, but because Israel has contravened the ceasefire agreement, we've decided that we're not returning them. So they have now acknowledged that they have two bodies in their possession, and the bodies have been named as Amiram Cooper and Sahar Baruch. They've even published who they are, so they know very well who they are. They suddenly discovered these bodies from nowhere yesterday, and they said, oh, well, we would have returned them, but because of what's going on and because of the IDF carrying out these attacks yesterday, we're not going to return them. So this is psychological warfare, one step beyond what was going on earlier yesterday. That is the current status. We know that the US administration continues to try to keep the ceasefire on the rails, to try to present this as being a small blip, and to try to prevent Israel from escalating the situation even further, which really it would justify. So, I go back to the question that I asked listeners and you, Howard, last week: what would be justified for Israel to restart the war? And let's even take it one step further than that. Let's understand what the possible alternatives are that the IDF and the Israeli government have to respond to the situation, because sitting on your hands right now doesn't seem to be a good option, even though that is what the US administration, I think, would like to impose upon Israel. But Israel could potentially control the border crossings. So there is the Rafah crossing has been opened for people moving in and out of Gaza. One suggestion was open the Rafah crossing, but only one way. Allow people to go out, but don't, sorry, allow people, yeah, allow people to go out, but don't allow anybody to come in. Even further, potentially scale back on the humanitarian aid that is being allowed into Gaza right now, hundreds and hundreds of trucks every day. If Israel could potentially use that as a lever to respond to the situation. The problem with that is, of course, the moment you start touching humanitarian aid, you run the risk of everybody around the world jumping up and saying, well, genocide, trying to carry out certain activities against innocent civilians. That's not okay, not even in love nor war. So the humanitarian aid, while it is a lever against Hamas, is a potential double-edged sword. Of course, we could carry out air force attacks, knowing now that we don't have any living hostages in Gaza, that maybe we would be freer to carry out just air force attacks. But we already know that attacks by our air force have a certain limit as to how effective they can be. What alternatives does Israel have right now to respond to this? And by the way, the fact that Hamas is trying to demonstrate that they are driving this vehicle and that they are in control is quite an astonishing thing 2 years into the war, and with so many of their leaders having been killed, taken out of action, they still somehow seem to be hanging on to the steering wheel of this vehicle.
Which is just incredible, because you just wonder how they are managing to do this, because they really do seem to be the party in control here.
Without a doubt, and it seems as if though their support is so widespread that they have enough people to impose on the others the support that they don't get. So we've seen, for example, the attacks were carried out a few weeks ago against groups that oppose Hamas in order for Hamas to impose the control. And they had enough people, enough security personnel, call them what you wish, operatives on the ground to impose themselves upon those who are not supporters of Hamas in Gaza. And one would have thought that Hamas is at its weakest right now, after having been through everything over the last 2 years, and yet they somehow still managed to keep hold of things. It is quite an astonishing reality to have to confront.
It really is. So we didn't speak about the World Zionist Congress, but we can do that tomorrow because it is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.